Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. What a Savior, what a friend. I can't imagine living life without Him today. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I've lived in darkness, and I prefer light. I just pray right now for anybody living in darkness that the light of God shines into the hearts of the lost and the broken and brings forth healing and truth and love for everyone out there that's suffering. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I forgot my glasses, but I borrowed Diane's earlier tonight, and could I borrow those, please? Thank you. They're good. They're fine. Thank you, sweetie.
You're welcome.
So I've been spending a lot of time in prayer, and I've been spending a lot of time in prayer. Don't I need a pencil in my ear at that point? And really pressing into holiness and wholeness in God. And one of the things that I've discovered is, as we walk along as a Christian, being saved, we go through life, we go through ups and downs, valleys and peaks, and in the end, God is always there. And it's really important to keep that in the frame of our heart and soul and mind, because the enemy loves to try to discourage us. And Jesus is all about encouragement and truth. And so I'm pressing in, and when I say Jesus is all about encouragement and truth, that applies to me too. And He gave me some truth the other day that I feel like I'm supposed to share with you tonight. And, you know, you guys know me. I have no secrets. God always makes me tell. So I'm going to share a dream that I had. It's not real long, but boy, did the revelation come from it. So I took notes tonight, and I'm actually going to teach out of the book of James, because that's where God took me after the little journey of self-correction and redirection and deeper consecration in Him. And so my dream is quick, but here it is. Now, you guys probably don't know this guy. He's a preacher in South Carolina. His name is Jordan Parkinson. And I met him one time in South Carolina at a conference. He was ministering, and he has a twin brother. And this guy's blind in one eye, but he gets blind eyes open all the time. And he's believing for, he has partial restoration in his eye right now, but he's believing for God to fully recreate his eye. And so I kind of was impressed with this guy because he's a young kid who truly loves the Lord Jesus without gimmicks, without hype, and he's kind of steadfast. You know, he's not fancy jeans and nice shoes. He's really about the Lord's work. And there was a season when I actually partnered with their ministry because God called me to do that. But anyway, he's very simple and humble and doesn't care about position. He cares about the body of Christ and the condition of the body in Christ, and he walks in holiness. And so I had a dream about him. And in the dream, I went to meet Jordan Parkinson because he was crying out for more of God. I told him he needed to fast for 30 days. I met him at a Mexican restaurant and shared a meal with him. I was on a consecrated 30-day fast. Day 15 in, and I thought nothing about breaking my fast to eat with him, and I just pick it up the next day. So that, there's a lot of revelation in there, but I have to share the second part too, because it ties together. The next part of the dream, I'm at some business trade show at a table. The business seemed to be Christian-owned, and there were other Christians at the table, also, but there was a man in the room at the table, and he was not saved, and he was really broken and really hurt and really suffering and troubled. He did not want anything to do with the Christians. And people started offering him advice and trying to persuade him to say the sinner's prayer so that he could come to Jesus and his life would get better. And some people were trying to get him to join their Bible studies, and he just was a really broken man who was overwhelmed with the weirdo Christians. And I'm sitting there quiet because it reminds me of kind of like when some people do deliverance and they get all around and there's like 10 people trying to get a demon out. It's like too many cooks in the kitchen. And so it's best just to sit back and, you know, pray and watch what the Lord's doing, because a lot of that's flesh, okay? And so we took a break, and at the break, this lady was she found out that I was a Christian. She didn't know it because I never said anything. And, you know, I wasn't trying to give her my calling card of anything. I just was like at this meeting, I was kind of crabby because of the way things were going with this guy. You know, he really needed help. And so I'm talking to her, and why there's a bag of Tootsie Rolls. And now remember, I'm on a fast. I just broke a 15-day fast, and I ate Mexican food, and now I'm eating Tootsie Rolls, okay? So this guy gets up for his break, and they're trying to pin him. You know, they're trying to, like, coerce him into saying the sinner's prayer. And so I'm standing next to this really annoying lady and eating a Tootsie Roll, and she's trying to convince me to join her church committee and join her church. And I'm like giving her my subtle signals of no thank you, politely. But she's one of those people that just won't stop. You know, she's a busybody and she just won't stop. And I call her an annoying person. And so, and I feel like saying, you know how they do in a movie where they say, this is all fictional, it's none of you, you're not... You know, so we go back to the meeting and we sit down, and then end of dream, I wake up and I'm like, wow, is that a strange dream? And at first I wanted to blow it off, you know, because I'm like, whatever. But as I prayed in the spirit, God began to reveal the meaning of the dream. And so I'll give you the condensed version. There's a lot to it, but I'm only sharing what I think pertains to us. As I prayed into the dream, I realized Jordan represents Jesus. You know, oftentimes Janet says names with J are Jesus. I didn't even think that. I just knew because he was so holy and consecrated. And isn't Jesus pure and spotless and uncompromised? And so as I prayed into it, I was like, okay, why did I break the fast? Why did I take that so flippantly? Like, you know, anybody who's fasting knows to get to 15 days, it's, you know, it's not nonchalant. You're pressing in, and, you know, to just give up like that and think, oh, nothing, you know, in the middle. And I don't know if 15 means anything. I don't have, you know, I'm not into that stuff. But as I prayed into it, I knew there was compromise in my heart. That's what that was telling me. I had compromise hidden in my heart. And so as I prayed into it a long time, the Lord revealed to me that I had unforgiveness and word curses and judgments that I had placed on other people. Now, I've gone through cleaning up all the nasty trash from many years ago, you know, the blatant, horrible things you say to people in anger and rage or whatever. And, you know, so I really wasn't even aware that this was an issue until the Lord showed me in the dream about the, you know, carelessness of, oh, just do it, you know, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, always saved. You know, that attitude of, eh, whatever, God's got me. And that really bothered me. And I spent a long time cleaning my heart with him. And as I did, I started praying for, you know, because what would happen is he would show me these flashes of words that I spoke over people or judgment that I placed over people. And I truly was repentant. And so, you know, I broke those words. I renounced them. I poured the blood of Jesus over them. And I rendered them null and void. And then I also blessed them. And I asked for an opportunity for them to see the true love of Jesus. Because a lot of times when we word curse, they're slimed up and they can't see how wonderful Jesus is because we just slimed them all up. And so from there, the Lord took me to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. And this one almost knocked me out of my chair. When you're half-hearted and wavering, it leaves you unstable. Can you really expect to receive anything from the Lord when you're in that condition? So obviously I was half-hearted because I, halfway through the fast, I said, no big deal. So again, I spent a lot of time, you know, dealing with the issues deep in my heart because these are deep issues. They're not the ones that, like I said earlier, where we, you know, when you go through the burn phrase, you get rid of anything that's ungodly in your house. This is deeper consecration to the Lord, and the Lord is calling us deeper. You know, the casual Christian is going to, I really believe that the casual Christians are going to be seeking God in deeper ways because it's not going to work. Because as he comes closer to returning, our life is being exposed for all to see. We're open books. And as his presence draws near, you know, there's a collision that's taking place. You know, the demonic stuff is popping, and so is the godly stuff. And it's all necessary. And if you remember, you know, Holly gave a word a few weeks back about God sweeping the church. It's starting in the church. Well, we're the church. And so don't we need a little house sweeping? So God gave me some really good wisdom out of the book of James that I want to share because I think it'll help us come to terms with justifying our lifestyles. Because if you look at it, we're not as bad as we were before we got saved. We're not as bad as we were 3 weeks ago. You know, we're trying, we're pressing in. And so I'm going to go through a couple scriptures with you in James. And I'm reading out the Passion. This season that I'm in, the Passion is just attacking me and really bringing truth and correction and direction and blessings. And so, I'm switching over to Psalm 24, 3-6. I've also been living in this, Psalm 24 and 25. And who then is allowed to ascend the mountain of Yahweh? And who has the privilege of entering in to God's holy place? Those who are clean, whose works and ways are pure, whose hearts are true and sealed by the truth, those who never deceive, whose words are sure, they will receive Yahweh's blessing and righteousness given by the Savior God. They will stand before God, for they seek the pleasure of God's face, the God of Jacob. So, I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. I gotta have more of him. And so if I have to have more of him, I'm crying out, change me. Well, he's going to if I allow him to. And I really feel like we need to go back to the change me, Lord. Help me. I'm a desperate wreck. I need your help. And I don't even know what, see, how this started was I said this simple prayer before I went to bed. I don't know how many weeks ago. Lord, I'm a mess. You gotta help me. I don't even know what to do. And then the very next day, I'm pouring coffee, and I knew I was going to fast. I didn't know what kind of fast, and I assumed it's the normal fast, whatever that could be. And as I was sitting there with them that morning, I had my first cup of coffee, and I was going to sit and talk with them, and I went to go get the second cup, and there he was. Not another cup of coffee. So cold turkey. Off caffeine. Did a headache come? Oh, yeah. So if I would have disobeyed him and had that second cup of coffee, I wouldn't be here right now sharing what the revelation that he's given me. Obedience, the slightest. We have to grow our ears in the spirit to hear the simple message of trusting him in all ways and acknowledging him because he will bring us through the path that we need to go. And so I spent a long time, like I said, cleaning my heart. And after this deep heart repentance, Jesus showed me how I had justified my actions, words, and judgment. And I repented and I asked him for help and deliverance, because I need deliverance. Because in my soul, there's corruption. And so wherever there's corruption, there's a reason why there's corruption. And I don't know the answer, but I know the one who does. And for each one of us, it'll be a different answer. So he then started telling me about a gifting he had placed in me years ago, and that it couldn't open sooner because my heart was not pure, because of my judgment and careless words. So he gave me a gifting many years ago, and I was like, you know, trying to make it happen in the flesh, trying to make it, you know, manifest, you know, and you can't fake God. You can't fake the giftings. And so there it came, and there it sat. And then the times passed long enough where you think, oh, well, maybe I missed it. But because it was such a deep encounter and it was implanted in me, a seed, I knew that it was God. And I'm like, I'm going after this. And that was one of the things I was praying into, is I want what you promised me, Lord. Well, you know what? The promises are hanging in the spirit, but he can't give the casual the keys to the kingdom. He'll give them opportunity to come, but not to rule and reign. And so I have made some serious choices and commitment with cleaning up this old vessel. And one of them is, I've put a guard over my mouth and over my heart. I no longer come into agreement with anyone speaking judgment or gossip. And I'm going to stop there for a second, because I see that as a hook. You know, we clean up and, well, so we don't talk bad about people anymore. But do you come alongside somebody? Do you know somebody in your life who just loves to gossip or loves to put people down or loves to puff themselves up? And you listen to it, but there's a way where you cannot engage. You can tell when your heart starts to lean in and goes, yeah, that's right. Or you can say, I'm not participating in this. I'm just not doing it. And so I've learned, I had to ask the Lord, because people gossip all the time, and don't they? People judge all the time. People justify themselves all the time, which is flesh, flesh, flesh. And so I had to ask him for keys how to overcome when this comes into my life. And he's given me keys, and one of them is, don't ask questions. How's so-and-so? I don't ask. Why would I ask? Because my soul wants to engage in corruption. Deep down, if you think about it. And so, here's one. I no longer talk about someone, this isn't for me, but this, the Lord had me speak this. I no longer talk about someone to others to puff myself up or tear someone down. A lot of Christians, a lot of believers, have to prove themselves that they're good enough or godly enough or saved enough, and so they don't mean to do this. We never mean, you know, we come in through habit of our old dead life, and so if we're puffing, it all comes out of brokenness, but what happens is when you feed this stuff, it grows corruption in your heart. And we're talking about ascending the mountain of God with pure heart and pure hands and a clean heart. So if any of this is ringing true to you, I could do a poll, but I won't. If any of this is ringing true, God is speaking to us. It's time to shore up. It's time to come a little closer, get a little deeper, and a little more serious, and not break your fast 15 days in and think on the 16th you can start back in. So one of the things that's happened since I had this heart conviction and heart transformation is I truly have a deep compassion for all people. It is the weirdest thing. I am like mushy and lovey, like, to people, and people are getting texts from me that they're probably like, what's up with her? Because I'd be like, and I love you so much, and I'm so thankful that you're in my life. And, you know, I always meant it, but I feel like I need to speak it now. You know, I need to be more attentive to people because they need to know that God loves them. And if we're representing God, it's time to take time to take time. That was from the Holy Ghost. I couldn't say that again. So I'm going to read some more from James. James 1:19, my dearest brothers and sisters, take this to heart. Be quick to listen, but slow to speak. And be slow to become angry. For human anger is never a legitimate tool to promote God's righteous purpose. So this is why we abandon everything morally impure and all forms of wicked conduct. Instead, with a sensitive spirit, we absorb God's word, which has been implanted within our nature, for the word of life has power to continually deliver us. Where does our deliverance come from? From the word of life. It's not going to come from this teaching. It's going to come from the word of life. This teaching is a carrot to take you to the word to pursue the issues of our hearts. 23. If you listen to the word, I never understood this until this week. I was like, what? Listen, from the Passion. If you listen to the word and don't live out the message you hear, you become like that person who looks in the mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face is in the beginning. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word, but then you go out and forget your divine origin. That's powerful. Who does that? I used to. I'm attending to him and his word. But those who set their gaze deeply into the perfecting law of liberty, not law of bondage, law of liberty, are fascinated by and respond to the truth they hear and are strengthened by it. They experience God's blessings in all that they do. Isn't that awesome? If someone believes they have a relationship with God but fails to guard his words, then his heart is drifting away and his religion is shallow and empty. Ow! But isn't it true? True spirituality that is pure in the eyes of our Father God is to make a difference in the lives of the orphans and the widows in their troubles, and to refuse to be corrupted by the world's values. James 2:8. Your calling is to fulfill the royal law of love. Who doesn't know what their calling is? Here it is. Your calling, this is all of us, is to fulfill the royal law of love as given to us in the scripture. You must love and value your neighbor as you love and value yourself. For keeping this law is the noble way to live, but when you show prejudice, you commit sin and you violate this royal law of love. So skipping down to James 2:12, so we must both speak and act in every respect like those who are destined to be tried by the perfect law of liberty. And remember that judgment is merciless, for the one who judges others without mercy, so by showing mercy, you take dominion over judgment. Yeah. So we must both speak and act in every respect like those who are destined to be tried by the perfect law of liberty. And remember that judgment is merciless. For the one who judges others without mercy, so by showing mercy, you take dominion over judgment. So how do you get free? Yeah. That's good stuff. So we all fail in many areas, but especially with our words. Yet if we were able to bridle the words, we say we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way, and that means our character is mature and fully developed. Horses have bits and bridles in their mouths so that we can control and guide their large body. And the same with a mighty ship. Though they are massive and driven by fierce winds, yet they are steered by a tiny rudder at the direction of a person at the helm. And so, I know you guys have all read this, but this is where we're at tonight. And so the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it carries great power. Just think of how a small flame can set a huge forest ablaze. And the tongue is a fire. It can be compared to the sum total of wickedness and in the most dangerous part of our human body. It corrupts the entire body and is a hellish flame. It releases a fire that can burn throughout the course of human existence. For every wild animal on earth, including birds, creeping reptiles, and creatures of the sea and land, have all been overpowered and tamed by humans, but the tongue is not able to be tamed. It's a fickle, unrestrained evil that spews out words full of toxic poison. We use our tongue to praise God our Father and then turn around and curse a person who is made in his very image. Out of the same mouth, we pour out words of praise one minute and curses the next. My brothers and sisters, this shouldn't be. Now, I've been here. I can live this verse. I know what it's like to be, you know, praise the Lord and, you know. And I know the struggle, you know, about dealing with the flesh. And there is a war on. And the war is on for our language, our tongue. Because if we speak life, we are ambassadors for the kingdom of God and we can rule and reign. If we speak death, we are agents of Satan. It's black and white. There is no in between. Well, I did better today. Go back to the beginning and ask the Lord to show you your heart and help you deal with the issues that are deep in there that we don't even know. And so, there's more. Would you look for olives hanging on a fig tree or go to pick figs from a grapevine? Is it possible that fresh and bitter water can flow out of the same spring? So neither can a bitter spring produce fresh water. If you consider yourself to be wise and one who understands the ways of God, advertise it with a beautiful, fruitful life guided by wisdom's gentleness. Never brag or boast about what you've done, and you'll prove that you truly are wise. But, I see this a lot, but if there is bitter jealousy or competition hiding in your heart, then don't deny it and try to compensate for it by boasting and being phony. For that has nothing to do with God's heavenly wisdom, but can best be described as the wisdom of this world, both selfish and devilish. So wherever jealousy and selfishness are uncovered, you will also find many troubles and every kind of meanness. But the wisdom from above is always pure, filled with peace, considerate, and teachable. It is filled with love and never displays prejudice or hypocrisy or whatever that word is in any form, and it's always bears the beautiful harvest of righteousness. Good seeds of wisdom's fruit will be planted with peaceful acts by those who cherish making peace. We are peacemakers.
Can you read that last sentence?
The one with the word I can't pronounce or after that? Sure. Good seeds of wisdom's fruit will be planted with peaceful acts by those who cherish making peace. So you reap what you sow. Kingdom principle. I've been just trying to get understanding and maturity in some of this one way in path. And so after I did, you know, I like to call them sessions in the Lord, you know, we kind of finished up that session, and I'm resting in them, and I'm thinking about all the people that, you know, the list was long, you know, that I needed to repent and bless, and And I'm not talking blatant stuff. I'm just talking a simple judgment in my heart. You know, I didn't even speak it out loud. And so as I was resting in him, I was praying for someone. And they didn't know I was praying for him. I just, you know, I felt led to pray. It's a minister who is going through a tough time. And as I was praying, I was deep in the spirit, and I started to see the man's life from where he's at now to the very beginning of time in his life, where words were spoke over him as an infant. Words were spoke over him through childhood. Also blessings. I saw the both, you know. But I saw the hits in his life, and later on in his life, you know, ministers, I don't know what's up with that, but they tend to take a little more judgment. Maybe it's because the body of Christ has something they think they need to share. It could be about your clothing or, you know, people, why do you talk like that? You know, that those are not questions. Those are actually judgments, hidden judgments. And if you ever preach in a church and could see in the spirit, you'd see what people are thinking and the words that are coming. And, you know, I don't want to get too deep into it, but I just want to tell you that I saw so many word curses against this person and so many judgments placed on him in the spirit. But what I saw was, you know how you see it, we've taught on this where, you know, words are death and life, choose life. And we've put up the pictures of what happens when somebody speaks a word like it's a knife in their back. That is actually the soulish realm. That affects them in the soulish area. You know, it might cause them instability in the natural. It might cause them depression. It might cause them, you know, heartache or whatever. And we're so easy once we figure out that we did something like that or hear a teaching, I break those words in the name of Jesus. But what I saw was in the spiritual realm, and I saw doorways, opportunities for the enemy to come and hinder this man's spiritual development because of the word curses that were spoke by Christians. It was like an open door, you know, a legal license, because we have a license. You know, our mouth is so powerful, and the words we speak are so powerful that I think that's why the enemy likes us to stay in judgment mode and justify our behaviors. But I'm going to read a little bit more of what the Lord said about that, because I think it will help us clear up some of the what's really going on, you know. So if you could see in the spirit what words have the power to do, build up or tear down. You know, I bless you in the name of Jesus, build up. I curse you in the name of Jesus, tear down. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so because words are not seen by people, they think they fall to the ground or it just doesn't matter. It's just casual, you know. They don't understand the effects of words. And we've all seen, I told you about the images, and that's the flesh realm, the soulish realm. But when you speak word curses, it actually gives legal access to demonic forces. Doorways of demons come on a person and cause great harm and pain because of the words we spoke. And that person has no clue why they're under attack. That's how powerful words are. The window of the soul is one area. The window of the spirit is another, which carries much greater authority. God spoke everything into existence in Genesis 1. Think of the authority that was used and exercised to create all that stuff. We've been given dominion, stewardship of the earth. And God is calling us higher. He's calling us deeper to proclaim his word. You know, I had a flash of victorious in battle earlier today, tonight. I really think that's a teaching we need to revisit. And kingdom rulership, very powerful teachings that will help us put it into terms of understanding of just how powerful the power God has given it all to us. You know, there's no measure or limit. It's what we will go after, what we will, if we subdue and master our flesh, more of him arises and comes forth. And so, you know, I said this earlier, we are in the cleaning the house season. You know, it's time to clean house. It's time to go through our cupboards of our heart and deal with it. And it starts with us coming to the Father and asking him to reveal what's in our hearts, and then asking him for grace, his grace, to help us overtake our strongholds and come out from what the world is saying and doing and start speaking life. Blessings and what God's word says. The word is full. If you can't think of anything good to say, first of all, don't say anything at all. And second of all, read the scriptures out loud pertaining to life and the goodness of God. And that will help you come into a greater understanding of the authority that we have. Is this helping you so far?
Well, so years ago, this was, you know, before I was even really serving Jesus. And I was working at this place, and there was kind of a crowd of people standing around and just ripping on somebody. And it was a person that was about Jesus, but he was just this good-natured, happy guy, and he said, "I like him." And everybody stopped, like, because everybody, even though it wasn't a Christian conversation, everybody was convicted of, oh, you know, I really shouldn't be doing that. And so I think maybe a way to nicely, you know, it might be like, well, let's just pray for that person, you know, because they won't like it, but they all probably won't do it in front of you again, too, you know.
So as far as wondering if you're judging them because they're judging, that's fun. and the thing I would do is ask the Holy Spirit, you know, am I, because he knows your heart. I can say, oh, no, you're not, but he knows your heart, and he will be the one. You know, I would, this is what I would do if I was you. I'd say, Lord, what's the issue here? Why am I feeling weird? I know I'm convicted, but what will you show me the truth and show me what I need to do and what I need to deal with? And when you deal with your issue, that other person will no longer be able to tie you in to the gossip or whatever, and then you'll learn not to say certain things to that person, which will invoke the, how's so-and-so doing, you know? And then if she continues, you can always say, you know what, I heard this really awesome teaching in the book of James, and I've made some, you know, decisions that I'm not doing this anymore. It's ungodly. Okay, anybody else? Yeah. Holly said sometimes it's good just not to hang around with certain people anymore. You know, I've cleaned my friend list up. You have to. You know, I remember there was a time when, you know, well, I've always been a little strange, but there was a season where the Lord had me hanging out with I'm just going to be honest. They were two lesbians that were Jewish, and I was trying to witness to them, and I didn't want to, you know. And this was a long time ago, and, you know, I kept preaching Jesus and talking about the miracles and the signs and the wonders, and the one was agnostic and the other one was Jewish. And I kept showing up Jesus, and then the day came when the Lord said, "You're done with that." And I never talked to him again. And I don't know what happened to him. And I really don't care. I did my prayers, and it was my assignment at the time. And maybe somebody else picked up the assignment. Maybe they came to Christ. I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, along the way, I get to talk to all kinds of people. And some of them I don't really want to talk to, but Jesus does. And so I have to listen. You know, when my feet are tired, if they have bad breath, all that stuff. You know, I can't go, oh, gosh, they've got bad breath. I have to say, you know what? This could be an orphan or a widow that I'm ministering to right now. They need to say something. And so I've really learned to subdue my flesh. Do I get it perfect all the time? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But I'm on my way, and I'm not turning back. Amen. Yes?
Yeah.
Oh, anybody else have any questions? Who needs a breath mint? No, I'm kidding. Yes. Well, as a man thinketh in his heart. So it's actually mastering the flesh and replacing it with God's word. You know, and it's not fun. It's like a diet, you know. It's not fun. It's just not fun. But if you master the flesh, then there's spiritual growth. And the flesh dies off a little more and a little more and more. Jesus comes forward. I'm going to pray for you then. Father, I just thank you for the loving hearts in here. I thank you for the amazing people who are truly seeking you with all they have. We don't offer much, Lord. Here we are, you know, we're dust. But you have everything, and we're pressing in for you because you are our everything. We're not pressing in for the gifts. We're not pressing in for the glory. We're pressing into your presence because we love you, and we honor you, and we respect you, and we want more of you and less of us. And so I pray for every person in this room tonight. I pray for a spirit of conviction to fall on our hearts, deep in our hearts. I pray for dreams and revelations that you open up any area where we've been crying out for change, Lord, blocked and don't understand why. I command the doorways to open in the spirit realm for you to see, for God to find a way to show you the stumbling blocks that so easily beset us. I pray right now for greater revelation, for a stamina to be strong in the days that are coming, to be strong in the day today, to be strong and steadfast and immovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. And let the work begin in our own hearts first before we go out and serve the world. Let us be changed. Let us be purified. Let us be whole, holy vessels consecrated to the King of Kings, the Lord of glory, because he's coming back. And we want to be ready. We want to be the bride with our oil lamp full, not the bride with the list of the tasks. And I did it all for you, Jesus. And Jesus says, who are you? I pray right now that we come into the center of his truth, the center of his love, the center of his very being, where we feel his joy, his peace, and his love for us as little kids, just wanting to climb up on his lap and be loved by the Master. And I pray for the love of Christ to manifest in your hearts in such a way where it's oozing out of your pores and people are drawn to the King of Kings. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from spiritofgodworldwide.com.